So I next need to say to Kathleen Keenan, hello. Kathleen
yes,
Keenan, very important member of the Virus Watch team here at KPTZ, along with Lynn Sorensen, RN, who is on this show every other week through Science to Health. And Kathleen, retired contagious disease investigator from San Diego, California. So we've established that it's afternoon and that we're both doing well. I am looking on my computer at the Jefferson County Public Health website, looking at the same numbers, more or less, the same numbers I looked at last week and the week before. What do you make of this?
Well, it's clear that we've had no new confirmed cases since April 10th. However, the numbers also show that every week people present to their doctors with symptoms consistent with COVID-19 and meet the criteria to get a test. So we have results on everybody but three people, and just to make an age comparison, nearly half, 13 of 28 cases are between the ages of 20 to 59 years in our county. So men seem to be more affected than women, and the elderly seem to be more affected with serious disease than the younger. So those trends are holding true.
And there are now only two people who have not recovered. We know nothing about how close to recovery they are. We've heard there are two in hospital. I at least know nothing about them, no really any idea of how long they've been in hospital. I guess I'm worried about them, to tell you the truth, even though I don't even know who they are.
Right. And, you know, it has gotten closer to all of us, and I don't know if you know, but the fellow that I used to, that I consult in terms of my virology knowledge, my friend Dennis Smith in Colorado Springs, he actually died last week of COVID-19. So, I don't know if other people have that experience, but the email I sent you was from him, Phil, and he passed away at home from COVID-19. The medical examiners confirmed that. So it's a very sad situation for us, although I think we are getting through this epidemic and there are bright things on the horizon, but we have lost people that we should not have lost.
And to you, my condolences. I actually, as far as I know, do not even know anyone who has had the disease, at least no one who's told me. Public health wants to, according to, I believe, Dr. Locke, I read this in the newspaper, thanks to Lily Haight anyway, public health hopes to increase testing by 100 tests per day. Who's going to be tested that's not being tested presently?
Well, that's very good news, because really what Dr. Locke is telling us is that our testing capacity and supplies to the tests is doing better. But he is primarily still looking at the diagnostic COVID-19 test, not the antibody test, just the one that looks for the presence of the virus. And, of course, being able to get up to 100 still depends on sufficient supply of swabs, reagents, and tubes, which continue to be in short supply, but the capacity at the public and private labs is increasing. So that's good news. Testing is still determined by your medical provider. That's the gate that you actually have to go through. And this week, CDC established a priority for those to be tested. And the highest priority would be people who are hospitalized with typical symptoms, your healthcare workers, people in congregate living settings, and also first responders. We're particularly focusing on places like long-term care facilities or any place there's a public health cluster like our meat packing industry, things like that. The next priority would be people that call their doctor and say, I've had a fever, a cough, shortness of breath, and I'm having trouble breathing, and the doctor can determine whether the person really needs that test. So it's still a gateway situation. And for us as individuals to be tested, you really have to have symptoms. That's the priority, and you have to meet the criteria.
I wonder if that will change. I have a bit of a quandary that's not present in my life, but it's going to come to my life and my wife's life and my son and his girlfriend. In June, mid-June, we're hoping to visit them in Moscow, Idaho. And we're assuming that travel restrictions are lifted and that is acceptable and we can find a way to avoid public bathrooms and all the other issues that one might find on the road. But we would like to visit the two of them. We would like to know that we are virus-free. We have presently and throughout all this have been symptom-free and hope that we're symptom-free in the middle of June. But the idea of they, that is my son and his partner and Emmy Lou and I, being able to be tested prior to our visiting each other has a great deal of appeal to it. Do you think that's on the horizon?
If you got money in your pocket, I'd say you might be able to convince your doctor. There are both antigen tests, the test for the virus itself.
I'm actually thinking of the diagnostic test.
That is the antigen test. That's the test for the virus itself.
Okay.
The antibody is a different test. It tells that you've had a reaction to your body seeing that virus.
Thank you. I forgot the distinction. Anyway, to my question.
Yeah. The problem, Phil, is it's only good for one point in time. If you start circulating in public, the issue is you may have exposure, and you could be carrying the virus. So that's the problem with any test at one point in time. The only one that's a little bit more reliable is the antibody test. Let's say you had an exposure, got infected. Maybe you had no symptoms at all, and now your body says, hey, you've seen this virus. That's the only thing that you really can count on at this point. Once they get the reliability of that test higher.
Mm-hmm.
So to be able to get the diagnostic test, the test for the virus itself, you're going to have to pay out of your pocket, and it's only good for one point in time.
Yeah, that would be the point in time just before we got on the road, I guess, and it would be their point in time just before we arrived, and I realized it would not be a simple matter. But we're not circulating much. We'd like to see our son, and you have children, I think, and probably well understand that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I have a baby, my first grandchild coming in July down to San Diego. So I feel your pain. I want to be with them during that period, but it's up in the air for right now.
Isn't it? Well, that's one reason I'm waiting until the middle of June, and one reason that daughter or son decided to not have a child until a month after that. That's good family planning, wouldn't you say? With regard to the antibody test, I hope I haven't mixed these two up again, which tells you if you've had the disease, past tense. Just before I went on the air by half an hour, read an article in the Seattle Times, saw again somebody quoted as saying, with respect to those tests, it's the Wild West out there.
Yeah, that was Dr. Jeff Duchin, who's one of our public health officers. I've known him for a long time, known of him. And he's really referring to the fact that the FDA has no approved, vetted, rigorously tested test process. They're all emergency use authorizations only, and it depends on the lab to set up their reliability testing in the lab to make sure that we get as close to 100% as possible. If you're infected, the test picks it up. That's called sensitivity. And then specificity is the other piece, that if you're negative, the test says you're negative. And what was happening with the antibody test is they were testing purified water and getting positive test results. Well, the reliability still needs to increase for that antibody test. And it's a good thing to know if you've been infected, but we're not quite there yet.
And from what I read in the same article, the University of Washington stands very strongly behind the test they use, but it's difficult to get doctors to actually order it for you.
Right. So I'm not sure what that's about. There was a little bit of information in that as to whether the entities, the medical providers themselves had to order it, whether, you know, who's paying for it, number of different things. But it will get better. It's just that it's not really, we're not quite set up yet, but we will get there.
Back to the antigen test, do you think that voluntary random testing is a possibility to get a more precise sense of just how much virus there is circulating in the community?
Well, yes, that's useful to know, but it has to do, what information you gather from that has a lot to do with how well the study is designed in terms of picking up the array of people that are in the population. And so most of those are done by university in collaboration with big foundations and partnership, with universities like UCSD or UCSF. And so they're done very quickly. Like the community is given 3 days to line up for a test. And they do 5,000, and then they take a look at that. So, yes, we're going to have a lot of people volunteer. We have stored sera samples that can be done on, blood samples. So a lot of testing is going to be done, so we have some idea of prevalence of past infections.
How about mandatory testing? Do you think that's a possibility? I know that was discussed. I don't think it ever was done in the decades before regarding HIV.
No, and here's my reasoning why. We don't need to do mandatory testing. You have to ask why you're doing it. Why do you think we would do it?
You're asking me to answer that question? Once again, I'd like to know how much virus there is on this first day of May. Happy May Day, by the way, Kathleen.
Happy May Day.
You're welcome. First day of May in Jefferson County. I'd like to know roughly speaking, how many of the people I may encounter as I go about, which I don't do very much in this community, who are positive and don't even know it?
Well, okay. So antibodies are different than who's currently positive. Someone who has antibodies has recovered, okay?
I'm sorry. So did I mix it up again?
Yes. Yeah.
I didn't mean that. So I meant the antigen test. Sorry. Thought I said that.
Okay. So the antigen test, it's really critical to take that test when the virus is replicating the most, and that's a point in time. And that's not easy to do if you're going to force people to take the test, because it only tells you on that day who might be developing more serious infection than the virus is replicating. So you can't, it doesn't make sense scientifically to do that. So oftentimes people ask that question so they know themselves what is my risk going out in public?
Exactly.
Okay, so nobody can give that to you, Phil. You have to, we don't have the resources to do that, never have, never tried that with anything, because essentially you must make your decision as a person as to what your risk tolerance is out there. And, again, it's only point in time, and it's not going to make a difference in general. You and I both have to make the decision what our comfort is with going out in public and circulating. If you don't want it, you don't go out and circulate until you can get a vaccine.
But if I didn't get out, I wouldn't be in front of this microphone, in front of this control board, and you would not be on the air.
Right. So people have to make their own decision. You and I are, you're in the studio and I'm at home, so we can accommodate each other that way. But the bottom line is, and I remember this in HIV testing, someone would say, it was anonymous testing, so a person would get a sheet of paper with a number on it that said, right then and at that time, they were negative for HIV. However, they could have exposure and then keep presenting this paper to somebody as though they were negative, and that's a false front someone's putting up because they may want to have sex with somebody, whatever. You are the only one that can protect yourself, and you have to figure out what your level of risk is. You can't be testing everybody every day. It's just not going to... It's just not going to happen. We can tell who's right, actually had the infection because of the antibodies, but not actively testing. We've never really done that. Don't have the resources. And once a person does test positive, the public health staff go into gear and they find all the contacts, put them in quarantine, watch to see if they develop the disease itself. If not, then you've passed the point of doing any kind of testing. And the other thing is that we will have low circulating levels of this virus. But if we get it low enough, then anyone who presents with symptoms, the public health will be able to stop that. That's the idea. We can't get rid of flu. We can't get rid of some things. We always have these low levels of it. But we're able to handle it if it's at that low level.
And hospitals can handle it as well. Kathleen, in the remaining 1 minute and 5 seconds that we have, so, don't laugh at me. At the remaining 1 minute and, well, I'm sorry, 1 minute that we have now, a summary quickly of a couple of research papers that you've read recently that find hope for you, that make you hopeful.
Well, first of all, there are many, many, many drug trials, both looking at a lot of new medication that could test the efficacy of drugs when a person has typical symptoms. And, of course, the most important one is remdesivir. It's showing promise. And the reason why it's important is because it is a clinical study that looks at people who have the virus and they give this drug early to prevent replication of the virus, and these people actually begin to recover sooner so it doesn't overwhelm them. And this is a clinical study, and it's a double-blind placebo versus what we've had mostly, which is a retrospective study. So we can control for variables more in a double-blind. So that's very important.
Okay, there you go. I'm sorry to tell you, Kathleen, that I'm going to have to put an end to this conversation for now.
Nope.
We'll speak to you again in 2 weeks. We'll speak with Lynn Sorensen next week and you in 2 weeks. We're lucky to have both of you here among us at KPTZ. Kathleen Keenan, thank you very much.
Have a good day.
You
Bye.
Do the same. Bye-bye. Kathleen Keenan retired as an infectious disease investigator. Was it the city of San Diego or was it the county of San Diego? It was Southern California. I should have all these things by now. I've had her on the show 3 or 4 or 5 times, but maybe it's a memory issue.